in the top of the ninth inning. His last chance for the Dock Spiders, and Matt Hansen picked up a solo shot, but that was all that they got. Left a runner stranded on second to end the frame, and so the Rafters end up winning 11-4. Looking back at the stats, there were a couple of pretty great lines to look at. Matt Pinal, in his first plate appearances as a Rafter, he went 2-for-5 with two RBIs. Chris Diaz, a 3-for-3 game with an RBI, a run, a walk, and a hit by pitch. He reached all five times he was at the plate. Cam Douglas, who was on our pregame interview for our guest of the show, and he went 3-for-5 with four RBIs and two runs scored, although he did strike out twice. And along with that, Noah Ruiz picked up another three RBIs in the game, going 1-for-3 with two runs and two walks as well. He did strike out one time. And a bunch of stolen bases all around. The Rafters stole 12 bags in the game. Chris Diaz had three, two for Douglas, two for Onati, and two for Ruiz. They were feeling it all around. On the pitching side, Zach Crotchfeldt, two scoreless innings with four strikeouts. Brent Gallegos, two scoreless innings. He didn't strike out any batters, though. And then Tony Torres finished the game up. He went two innings, allowing just the one run on the homer. Drew Thompson's start, he allowed two earned runs, three runs in total in his three innings pitched. And that's a look back at the stats. Well, looking ahead towards next game, the Rafters going to be taking on the Royal Oak Leprechauns, and the Rafters going to be starting Noah Marschke to go up against Cal Rutherford in the game. Marschke, for his first time as a Rafter this season, but of course he was with the team last year, so his return to Wisconsin Rapids, we're going to see him tomorrow going up against Cal Rutherford. And then in the second game of the series, well, we'll break that down for you tomorrow. So hopefully we can catch you tuned in to the broadcast. But first pitch at 6:35 tomorrow against the Royal Oak Leprechauns. It's the middle game of the five-game homestand. And first pitch at 6:35. The pregame show on WFHR will kick off at 6:20 p.m., and we'll have another great pregame interview, as we always do. Love talking with the guys. Love getting to share that with you all as well. And, well, as always, we do truly appreciate all of the support here. The Rafters going to hope to continue to rise up in the standings as they look to get a streak started, a win streak. They still have not won back-to-back games. They'll have a chance to do so against Royal Oak tomorrow. But that's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. A big thank you to all of you for supporting the Rafters and for coming out to Witter Field. It's always great to get to see all the fans out here and to get to interact with them as well. And, of course, a big thank you and a shout-out to all of the great staff and interns of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters for helping make this setup so great and easy for us. And, of course, to all of the players and to Cam Douglas for taking his time to talk to me earlier today and for joining the pregame interview. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. So one more time, the final score, 11-4. The Rafters get the win. They move to 4-6 on the season as the Dock Spiders drop to 4-5. From myself, Austin Thomas, and from the entire rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you and have a great rest of your night.
In their past 10 games, Milwaukee heads back home to play the San Diego Padres starting on Friday. With a 21-5 victory today over Messiah, UW-Whitewater clinched the Division III College Baseball Championship. It's the Warhawks' third title and first since 2014. Coach John Vodenlich said the Warhawks have had a potent offense all season.
This is who they are. This is a good reflection of what they've done many times. Once again, not on this type of stage, but I've seen that happen a lot.
Whitewater allowed just 19 runs in five games at the College World Series, putting up 20 runs of their own in the clinching game. The Warhawks finished the season at 49-6, with all six losses coming against fellow WIAC teams. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, a partly cloudy sky accompanied by a light breeze. Expect morning low temperatures in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. A little cooler Friday, we'll have a chance of showers. Right now, it's 55.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll be joined by Congressman Mark Pocan. We'll see how the big, beautiful bill has been more like a truly terrible train wreck and get more updates.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And our newest way to check in, if you have the Civic Media app, which you should, because our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest is underway for the next 2 weeks. You have to have the app in order to enter. But if you do have the app, you can now do a voice note.
That's very, very cool.
It is cool.
You go to the app, open it up, pick your station. You can customize, pick your favorite station. And then when you're in that page, you can simply hit the word voice note, which is at the bottom of the app. And you just leave us a little recording. Tell us who you are.
Where you're listening.
Where you're listening. And what station you listen, or if you listen in the app, and, you know, we'll take a listen ahead of time, make sure it's in context and FCC compliant.
Always important.
But yeah, you can do that. It's another great way to get in touch with us, and that's through the Civic Media app. And download it for free.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah, do it now. It's completely free. We have a busy show coming up after the 9:30 news. The president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, Darren Von Rudin, will be joining us, going to be talking about a number of things, including, obviously, tariffs. Darren is a soybean farmer, and Derek Van Orden.
Darren Von Rudin.
Derek Van Orden. Spoke to farmers recently about tariffs.
Yeah.
He's all for them.
Right in front of farmers' faces,
yeah,
too.
Right in front of farmers' faces. So we're going to talk to Darren Von Rudin about that, among many other things, after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, Nathan Deming. Very much looking forward to talking to Nathan. He is a Wisconsin native, and he's a filmmaker.
Yes.
Who kind of spends his time in between Wisconsin and California, I believe. But Pete Schwabe, who does Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8 p.m. across the network on weekdays, was actually in a film of his.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And Nathan has got a new project, Wisconsin-focused.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And then we're also going to talk about, there was this proposal that came up a couple of months ago about film credits.
Yes.
Trying to encourage and entice, essentially, companies who are making movies to make them in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the discussion because it's one of those things where you're like, why doesn't this seems right.
It doesn't seem like it would be a hard thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't. So that's coming up in hour number two. Also in hour number two, the segment we call Audio Sorbet around 10:35 after the 10:30 news. There it is.
The light harps.
What's your home remedy?
What's your home? Oh,
everybody's got one. We were talking about this off the air because of something that I've recently been dealing with. But what is your home remedy?
You know it works.
And you know it works. There might not be any scientific basis for it, but it works. What is your home remedy? We'll do that after the 10:30 news.
I'll even open it up to, it doesn't work, but you refuse to believe that it doesn't work.
Do it anyway. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Gully G edition.
God.
There is an audio portion and a video portion that we'll include in the show notes.
I'll warn you now, when the audio portion comes, turn them speakers down just a little bit.
Yeah. It's going to be loud. The Oh Gully G edition of Tisbat coming up around 10:51. Wanted to start off with this, though. Found this morning in Wisconsin Public Radio. Anya Van Wagendonk with the byline. Following failed Robin Voss recalls, rules for petition circulators could change in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Remember when a group of Republicans.
Yes.
They were the ones who mounted this recall against Robin Voss.
Twice.
Because the 2020 election wasn't stolen.
Correct. He came out and said that the 2020 election was not stolen after Michael Gableman
spent millions of our dollars.
Whatever you want to call it, allegedly stole millions of our taxpayer dollars. And Robin Voss, I think, just finally said this. It was fine. It's nothing was just, can we move on?
I'm
and
done.
That really enraged the, I would say, the further MAGA right. Because Robin Voss is pro-Trump, voted for Trump, endorses him, the whole thing. But this was not good enough for a certain group of individuals who reside, I believe, in either Racine or Kenosha. I saw the house that was the headquarters, by the way.
Oh, really?
But yeah, they tried to recall him twice. In one election cycle.
Yeah. And now there's some people are not happy about that. So they want to make some changes, as they always do.
Yeah.
So here is what they're looking at. Under current law, the way things are right now, anyone who is eligible to vote in Wisconsin, if they live here, can circulate nominating papers or recall petitions. So anyone who's 18 and a citizen and not otherwise disqualified can circulate these recall petitions. Under the new GOP bill, people circulating recall petitions need to live here in Wisconsin. This would also apply to people circulating nomination papers to get somebody on the ballot.
Yeah.
I know there was a lot of discussion again during this Robin Voss recall attempt that they were bringing in outsiders to knock on doors and circulate these petitions.
And
they did.
And I say to that, so what? They're not voting. And volunteers coming in from out of state is a regular occurrence in campaigning. You bus people in, they'll knock on doors, they cover more area. Both sides do it. That's not uncommon.
It's not a surprise.
They're not doing anything illegal. They're merely knocking on doors saying, hey, we want to do X. Would you like to support? That's it. I think this is wholly stupid.
His feelings were hurt.
Well, you know, I didn't realize that Robin Voss had feelings after the way he spoke to Luann Bird yesterday, but you know.
Sensitive.
Wow, he's a sensitive popcorn king.
Supporters of this measure testified before the Assembly Elections Commission yesterday. One of the co-authors of the plan said a lot of people involved in the recall efforts against Robin Voss were from out of state. Quote, these petitioners were not invested members of our communities. It was an orchestrated effort by outside activists to influence our state's electoral outcomes. Unquote.
I always love to use it with dramatic flowery language. They love to be, they're not invested members of the community.
No, they're getting paid.
Well, then,
or they're volunteers.
Then anyone who wants to do this has to live in the same district or the county or the city or the block. What is it going to be? If someone is traveling, usually on their own dime, to come volunteer
to
for a campaign,
something like this,
they're pretty invested in the process. And this is once again Robin Voss trying to end he did not latch on to this one, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
No, Robin hasn't signed on. He is not among the bill's co-sponsors.
He is the eye of the storm for this whole thing.
Yes.
And anytime they feel threatened, they want to change the rules because they don't like it. So now they're going to make it that only Wisconsinites can do it. This is so dumb. This is such a waste of time.
The supporters of this measure say the residency requirement amounts to closing a loophole, noting that non-residents can still nominate candidates for president and vice president. Quote, this legislation is not about making it harder to participate in democracy.
Yes, it is.
It's about ensuring that the voices that shape Wisconsin elections are those who live, work, and vote here, unquote.
If they're so concerned about loopholes, how about let's close some tax loopholes on the rich? Loopholes on businesses who don't pay their fair share. There's a lot of loopholes they could concern and close up that would help Wisconsin really instead of this absolute bunk.
Well, and I think it's important that we keep an eye on what their priorities are. Because again, we had four meetings across the state from the Joint Finance Committee where they were listening to constituents. And what were the top three things that people that the Joint Finance Committee heard from after waiting for hours to address them? It was about health care, it was about schools, and it was about child care. Mm-hmm. And what are they doing? Are they addressing any of those things? No, they're doing stuff like this because Robin Voss's feelings were hurt.
And let's also not forget what the first major motion out of the state house was when 2025 came around and they all came back to work after a 10-month vacation. Putting an amendment or putting a ballot measure on the spring election that would enshrine voter ID into our constitution. That was the pressing thing of the moment. Oh my God, Jane, we are
election integrity, Greg.
Wisconsin's in trouble unless we get this thing done. These are the important things to them, and it's about distraction. It's about making your power. I mean, this is so dumb. This is so dumb.
It sounds like a big waste of energy. It really does.
And money and time.
Yes. And again, we're not talking about people who are knocking on doors. Yes. Okay. So people come from out of state to circulate petitions.
Yeah. They come and they volunteer to help with campaign initiatives, whether it's a recall, whether it's getting nomination papers. Like, this is the process. This is the part of the American process of voting. And they're like, well, if you don't live here, you can't do it. Why?
Because it's a protective measure. It's to protect them, right?
Yeah.
It's to protect them. And at the same time, then affect the other side as well. If they would do something like this, that's also going to affect people who want to volunteer for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're pushing it. And that's the other thing, too, Jane, is that this whole thing is like GOP-centric. Because the Democrats were on the side going, I don't know, how about we just vote them out at the election time, not 2.5 months before.
Right.
It's just such a, like, I don't know. Yeah. It goes back to the idea of like any threat to their power they see in any way, shape, or form, period, they have to nip it in the bud. And that comes in the way of not nullifying the new fair maps, but making them so that even though you won, you don't get a voice.
Well, it's kind of rewriting rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real petty. It's real childlike. And, but that's what we've come to know and love about this GOP, this Wisconsin GOP, which is, you know, I won't play with you. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Well, if there's anything that they're really good at, it's protecting their own.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anyone who is listening was at the Joint Finance Committee meetings, the four that they held around Wisconsin last month, where residents could voice their concerns and tell lawmakers what it is they wanted to see addressed in Wisconsin. Did anybody at these 9-hour Joint Finance Committee meetings bring up the fact that we need to protect petition circulators?
We don't have to protect. This is not about protecting elections. This is about protecting the pre-show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. This has nothing to do with voter integrity. This has nothing to do. It's just like you said, it's another squirrel.
Yes.
It's another squirrel.
But in the face of true concern, they said, you know, healthcare, childcare, education, and they're like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to make sure that if nomination papers or recall papers go out, they gotta live here. That's important. Jane, they're the thieves everywhere trying to recall people. They're everywhere.
Everybody's out to get me.
Yeah.
When we return, there's a rip in the fabric of the universe because I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oi.
Well, I gotta go.
We got all the details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
This Father's Day, visit Boot Barn for top quality gifts that pay tribute to the lasting heritage of the West. From handcrafted cowboy boots and American-made felt hats to durable jeans and outdoor gear, our in-store experts can guide you as you shop, assisting with boot sizing and helping you navigate the store so you can find the perfect gift. Share a piece of the American spirit with him this Father's Day. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last two or three decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest is underway through next Friday. Mm-hmm. So you want to be listening in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours for the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. It's your chance to pick up either $100 in cash, everybody could use that, or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets, and then you are in the drawing for the grand prize. Summer vacations in either Door County or in Baraboo, and we've got your gas money too to get you there.
And at 11 o'clock, just listen for me or Jane to give you that keyword during the Tom Hartman show.
You're exactly.
Our wonderful velvety voices.
Dulcet. Julian Oliva. Julian Oliva, one, listening on WCFW.
Oh, nice.
And Ashley, listening on WIRI in Wisconsin Rapids. Also one of our winners in our Sconny Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. So make sure you're ready. Make sure you have the Civic Media app. That is the only way to play.
Correct.
And again, after 11 o'clock with Tom Hartman, we will have that next keyword for you. So good luck with that. Right now, though, it's going to spend a little time about something that we have been meaning to talk about and just kind of gets shoved off the the page when we get up in the morning, because there's lots of things.
Because there's always
lots
news.
Of things breaking all the time.
Yeah.
But in this budget bill, there's lots and lots of things they jammed in here. And as we have found out, many of our lawmakers don't really bother to read the whole thing.
That's something we see. I feel like every time there's a massive piece of legislation or a controversial piece of legislation, there's always gonna be one to, I don't know, five people who admit on camera, I didn't actually read this.
Oh, I didn't know that was in there.
Whoops.
But And I guess I can understand that the lawmaker isn't necessarily going to read all 1,000 pages themselves, but isn't that what they have people for?
Well,
you have three staffers in your office, and it's like, you read the first third, you read the second third, you read the last part, and then give me a synopsis.
Yeah. I always like to say this, though. If you ever looked at it, if you ever held a bill in your hand from state government, it is...
It's pretty weighty.
It's weighty, but it's also tighter margins, a third of the page is empty for notes, and it's triple spaced. So if you took all the... 1,000 pages in your hand is a lot, but it's not as long as we always like to think it is. But yeah, that's something you farm out to aides, to interns, to legislative affair, and say, provide me a briefing of the things you think I should know about.
Well, so I know what's in this measure before I vote for it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia essentially admitted yesterday she is completely unaware that inside of this budget bill, there is a 10-year ban preventing states from regulating artificial intelligence.
Say that again.
There is a 10-year ban that will prevent states from regulating artificial intelligence for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's against this, which I am also against this. That seems like a really bad idea.
Correct. Yes.
When we look at the way that AI is being used now and the amount of deep fakes that are coming out, and some of them are really good.
Yes.
As far as looking legitimate, looking real. I absolutely think we need to have some regulation on AI as this is an evolving technology.
I absolutely agree. And I think one of the problems we face too is that you have a few companies who are a few years into it. So they're a little more advanced in their technology. And with an additional decade of unregulated existence, they are going to make it. And I'm sorry if this sounds very tinfoil hat type of thing, but they are going to ensconce themselves into our culture so deeply that when that 10 years is finally up, it's going to be so difficult to regulate them
and to get rid of it.
Well, I'm not even saying get rid of it, but I'm saying just to even regulate it at all, because not only that, but over the next decade, they're going to build up a lobbying army that's going to rival the pharmacology industry as well as the gun industry. And it's going to be like, how are you going to regulate us? We are part of your lives. We write your reports. We do this. Blah, 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 blah. And then it's going to be some states will just say, ugh, forget it. I won't do it at all. And we'll be in trouble. Very deep trouble.
There is another Republican lawmaker, I believe it's Flood, who came out and addressed this as well. But it's just interesting. Once you read the whole thing, you know, some things pop out at you a little bit. You kind of want to know those things before you vote in favor of said things.
Yeah, but it's too late, Marjorie. You already voted for it. It's at the Senate now, so hopefully maybe you can talk to your Senate friends, if you have any over there, and say, hey, can you take this provision out? Or, I mean, the bus left the station a while ago.
Well, yes, with her, that's a... quote, we have no idea what AI will be capable of in the next 10 years, and giving it free rein and tying states' hands is potentially dangerous. This needs to be stripped out in the Senate, unquote. I agree, MTG. I agree with you.
So, and that is where we put it on. Well, one, if there's anyone listening in Georgia,
never know,
find a way to get a hold of Marjorie Taylor Greene's office and press her to press the Senate. Folks in Wisconsin, go to myvote.wi.gov.
Yes.
Call your congressman, call your senators, and tell them that we want the Senate to pull. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things in this bill, but this one specifically, if this one bothers you, call them. Make your voices heard and tell them you want this aspect stripped out of the budget, because it is going to be hard to regulate them in 10 years if they can at all.
And with all of the things that AI can do, which I think there are some great things. On the other hand, I also think that AI is going to do nothing but make us really stupid. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. News is next.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. Citing national security, President Trump bans travel from a dozen countries and partially restricts travel from seven others. CBS's Jennifer Jacobs.
Exceptions will be allowed for lawful permanent residents, existing visa holders, adoptions, athletic teams, and some other categories.
President Trump again takes aim at Harvard University after its refusal to comply with administration demands regarding some school policies. He's moving to block U.S. entry for foreign students planning to study at Harvard. A school spokesperson calls it another illegal retaliatory step taken by the administration. Daniel Park of Washington State, an alleged accomplice of the Palm Springs Fertility Clinic bomber who was killed last month, has been arrested. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
Online chats played a critical role, shipping documents and, of course, travel ID. Itineraries ultimately leading police to Park. They also had not just the communications, but the shared ideology.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Milwaukee Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee defeated Cincinnati 9-1 today to take two of three games of the series. Jackson Churio had three hits, including a two-run home run to help spark the Brewers' offense. Three Brewers pitchers combined to allow just four hits and one run, with Quinn Priester getting the victory. It's the ninth win for the Brewers in their past 10 games. Milwaukee heads back home to play the San Diego Padres starting on Friday. With a 21-5 victory today over Messiah, UW-Whitewater clinched the Division III College Baseball Championship. It's the Warhawks' third title and first since 2014. Coach John Vodenlich said the Warhawks have had a potent offense all season.
This is who they are. This is a good reflection of what they've done many times. Once again, not on this type of stage, but I've seen that happen a lot.
Whitewater allowed just 19 runs in five games at the College World Series, putting up 20 runs of their own in the clinching game. The Warhawks finished the season at 49-6, with all six losses coming against fellow WIAC teams. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Hunt for Osama bin Laden is a ratings jackpot for Netflix, but not to be outdone is the hunt for Michael J. Fox's guitar from Back to the Future. The film is about to celebrate its 40th anniversary in just a few weeks on July 3rd. As you may remember, Michael J. Fox's character, Marty McFly, famously played Johnny B. Good at the Enchantment Under the Sea high school dance. Fox rocked the crowd with a red Gibson, which was never seen again. The team of guitar-searching showbiz mercenaries includes Fox, co-star Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, who played Doc, and rock star Huey Lewis. They all appear on camera in a new documentary called Lost to the Future. You too can be part of this manhunt, as they are making an appeal to the public to help in the search. Anyone with leads on the guitar's whereabouts can call 1-888-345-1955 or send a message to www.losttothefuture.com. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price in the overnight, a partly cloudy sky accompanied by a light breeze. Expect morning low temperatures in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 70s. A little cooler Friday, we'll have a chance of showers. It's 57 at our studios.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
Speechless too.
I mean,
I love it. We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
The show kicks off with Congressman Mark Pocan, who went toe-to-toe against Russell Vogt, head of the OMB, and ate his lunch. Don't miss our chat.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us on the first Wednesday of the month. The president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Rudin, is here. Good morning. Darren, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Jane and Matt, or Greg. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a Civic Media news reporter.
Nice.
On our Civic Media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks, you know, talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seen press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, you know, not necessarily happy. You know, the tariffs are something that's really turned this country around, and not necessarily in a good way. You know, it's, yes, short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, you know, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, you know, it seems pretty vague. And certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life, he was one of those people.
That's something he was, you know, we have on video and we've played it on various shows, and he not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically SNAP. He was talking about SNAP benefits, but he also, I mean, accused the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that SNAP benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Darren?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, you know, currently there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills. Which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one, and so let's keep them together.
Well, and I guess, Darren, it's almost like they want farmers to come out and say you're against SNAP, and you're not. It's not like this is something that farmers have been calling for, that we need to get rid of SNAP because it's overextending us. That's not accurate.
Yeah, you know, it's more or less coming from the right wing of the Republican Party and trying to, you know, save some tax dollars. In reality, you know, the folks that are benefiting from that program are a lot of those same folks that are voting for those right wing candidates. And, you know, you look at where most of those dollars go, it's to more of the red states than the blue states. And how do we make sure that we're keeping those programs going in order to, you know, help the most needy.
And another one of those programs I want to highlight really quick that was, I believe, got, forgive the term, doged, but it was part of the big, you know, it happened this first quarter of the year, was the program which gave farmers money to grow food to get to pantries to give to people. So they cut a program that would allow farmers to make money to grow their food to feed those who are hungry. I mean, I don't know if there is another thing out there that you could cut that shows that they don't care about farmers and they do not care about the poor or the hungry. They're not mutually exclusive. When I saw that, and I think we spoke to you, I know that Pat spoke to Hans Breitenmoser about it, but it's just such a blaring example of how little they care about the actual people of this country.
Yeah, and that's the LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops that then ultimately end up in the food pantries, the tribal elders box. You know, it's all going to help the people that are in most need of a daily nutritious meal. And so getting rid of a program that's benefiting farmers directly, but also making sure that there's a system in place to help that food go 10 miles or 20 miles instead of having to travel 1,000 miles or 1,500 miles, which, you know, that takes a lot of those dollars directly away from the farmers because you have all those middleman dollars that are being dispersed. And a program like the LFPA program has certainly connected the farmer more directly with the consumer.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food, and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden. He joins us the first Wednesday of the month to talk about all the things that are going on in the farming community here in Wisconsin and abroad. And one of the things you we're talking about here now is like the cutting of this is the LFPA program. To me, like all I'm hearing right now is investments being canceled because you invest in farmers, they make the food, they take to the pantries. Those food pantries are giving it away, and it is proven that when people aren't hungry, morale improves, productivity improves, just general learning improves. So I just, to me, like everything about this seems so easy, as you said, Jane. Not to mention, and we brought this up before. If I'm a politician, Darren, I want to knock on your door and say, guess what I just did? I protected the LFPA program because it's important for you. It's important for our neighbors. It's important for everybody. And yet they're taking these programs and they're cutting them. And I don't know if they're going to go home to knock on doors and talk to. Well,
look what we did.
They're not showing up to town halls anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
There's
but
that.
What I wanted to bring up really quick is one of the things you brought up as a discussion point was cuts to public radio and NPR. Darren, do you want to speak on that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that I think affects not only farmers, but rural citizens across the country. You know, I hear more and more people that are listening to the programs that public radio offers and national public radio or TV. You know, how do we keep those programs alive? And a lot of that is through public funding. About half of the funding, or a quarter of the funding, to NPR and public radio comes from private donations. So, you know, it's one of those programs that I listen to a lot when I'm driving down the road with all the windshield time that I have. and it has a lot to do with the news source that's there too. It's an independent news source. It's not viable to one particular promoter. You know, at the end of different newscasts, they'll say that one of their sponsors was actually somebody that they were talking about.
Right. Yeah.
What radio stations do you hear that on? You just don't. And so how do you know who's pushing what button that they can report on and what they can't report on, where public radio and public TV, you know, really gets to the source. And most times if the opposite sides want to be on the stage at the same time, that's what they would much rather do. But we're seeing a lot of pushback from the far right saying that it's not a good news source. Well, if you don't show up and talk about your point, you really can't say that. It's like the local tavern affiliate or customer that complains about politics all the time but never goes and votes.
Right. Yes.
You really don't have a right to complain about it if you're not willing to be on the program.
I'm very, very surprised that you and other agriculture producers in Wisconsin are NPR fans. And I think that helps explain a little bit to me, at least, why they would like to cut funding, because I think they would much prefer that Wisconsin farmers were listening to different kinds of media outlets.
Yeah, and you know, and certainly nowadays with modern technology, and if you are lucky enough to own some of the modern equipment, you can get Sirius Radio and listen to whatever you want. But there's a whole lot of us that are still farming with tractors from the 80s and 90s and still have AM radios on our dials too yet. So having as many news sources as we can is what we prefer versus getting to a point where we have fewer and fewer.
Or God forbid, a government-controlled media outlet. Yeah.
I want to make one thing clear, too, when people, because this is the NPR, it can get NPR public radio, they can get lost in a lot of minutia. And this NPR receives 1% of their their budgeting comes from the U.S. government. It's about $535 million. And some people will say, and it's a lot of money. I take it. But that is 0.0128% of the federal budget. That is how much funds public radio. 0.028%.
It's minuscule.
So let's not make that like, oh my gosh, NPR is such. It's important. It's necessary. And as you just said, Darren, it's very vital for those out there on the farmlands.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Rudin, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Keys to Progress and Diversity, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Same-sex relations are a crime in 62 countries around the world. The nonprofit Rainbow Railroad helps to relocate LGBTQI plus people from terrible situations.
Once you're labeled LGBT, it's almost like a scarlet letter. Like you walk around and someone can attack you at any moment.
Brought to you by Progressive. Protect your auto, home, and business with Progressive and get 24/7 coverage. See if you can save at progressive.com.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age, between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today from 2 to 4 p.m., Todd Alba, our friend and colleague. He's going to have Pat Kreitlow and senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson, will be recapping all the headlines of the week. And then, of course, Todd always does What's Worse, which is kind of like our audio sorbet when they just kind of lighten things up a little bit. Join Todd today. It's a great show. 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the first Wednesday of the month, so we are joined by the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is here. Darren, we had a couple comments coming in on the text line and also on the live stream. Tom from West Dallas asks, does anyone think that the government is trying to bankrupt family farmers so that corporate farms can take over?
Well, that is a very good question. According to a lot of farmers, the answer might be yes. And certainly looking at how the structure of the Farm Bill has changed from its original intent of protecting farmers of all sizes back in the early days of the Farm Bill, to what it is today when there's a lot more corporate dollars or dollars that go to corporate farms or the very largest farms in this country. I think one of the stats I've seen from USDA in the last 7 to 10 years here is that 80% of all dollars that go directly to farmers are to the 20% of the largest farms. So, you know, farms of my size, a 50-cow organic dairy farm, really get that the tenth of 1% or even less of the dollars. And you know, looking at the original intent too, there was payment limits at one time. So you could only get, as a farmer, you could only get so much. You know, today that's up in the $750,000 range, I think, is what the maximum payment that you can receive. So what the largest farms are doing is making multiple entities so that they can get, you know, millions of dollars. And that's something that there's actually an attorney, I think, located down in Arkansas, that that's all that he does for a living, is trying to help farmers navigate through those systems in order to get maximum benefits.
Well, in the previous part of the first part of this discussion, we were talking about the cuts to the cut of the LFPA program, which is a program that allows farmers to be paid to grow food and then give that food to pantries in their community, which has been cut under the DOGE and Trump programs. Cassandra in the live stream commented on that, saying, "We are actually currently seeing the effects firsthand in New London with the LFPA program being canceled. We will have significantly less food here in our pantries," and going on to say, "There was a woman that would donate a whole cow. She can't afford to do that without the tax credit." So those not only are the effects, but they're happening immediately.
And they're happening immediately and locally.
Yeah. So,
we had back in May during the last program, which the connection was not the best, which is hard to understand coming from our nation's capital. You think you would have a connection all the time. But we had one producer out there that has just about $25,000 worth of fish that were raised to the point of thinking that they were going to have a market for them this year. So now they have to try to find a market for that $25,000 worth of fish. Probably going to be looking at taking a lot less than that, because the markets are, you know, controlled in that sector by certain things, certain entities. And so how do you just take a $10,000 loss on a market that you established had been very viable for 2 years, and then Uncle Sam says, "Bye, see you later, it's too bad."
Now it's gone.
Yeah. I go back to the original point, is that, you know, individual, and we have said this before, and Darren, I'm sure you can attest to this, that politicians on both sides of the aisle have used the American farmer as a great place to hold an event. Get that podium there, stand in front of a field full of corn,
have a breakfast,
or soybeans, and say, "I love the farmers." And then they go back to Washington and they do things like this. And a lot of it comes under the radar because there's so much happening in the world. But just to be aware of, and everyone who's listening, to be aware of these cuts. I'm not going to call them small cuts. These cuts to programs that directly affect people like Darren and his friends and colleagues, and the politicians, there's no one holding them accountable to that. They just happen. And we have one right here in the state. SNAP benefits are important. They're not going to go down a nickel. That's a quote. And he votes for this bill, which cuts SNAP benefits along with other entitlements.
In fact, the CBO just came out with their latest estimates on this budget bill. And the CBO estimates it will add $2.4 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. So again, when we talk about cutting some of those programs, which is it's an eensy beensy teeny tiny part of what we spend on an annual basis in this country, cutting those things does not seem like the right way to go about it.
No.
Just doesn't.
Yeah, you know, and looking at the charitable side of most Americans, it seems to be disappearing, because this is one of those things that it's helping those that are in most need. And how can we, as true Americans, say that we should get rid of a program that's being beneficial to those people that are most in need, but also helping out multiple facets between the farmer and the consumer, too, because it isn't just the farmer and the consumer. It's all above. So
it's all of us. Yeah. All of us. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us at the first Wednesday of every month. Thank you so very much, Darren. We will see you in July.
Thank you much, Jane and Greg, and happy June Dairy Days. Make sure you eat lots of cheese and drink lots of milk and those hot days.
We are on it. Absolutely. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Get on, get on, get on, get on, get on, get on.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. His vehicle has been found, but no sign yet of the Washington State man wanted for murder after his three young daughters were reported missing and then found dead about 100 miles east of Seattle. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
This is not the outcome we wanted to see. We were hoping that we could find Travis today, but we are feeling optimistic thanks to our Marshals Department that has come through and tracked down some good leads that we feel are giving us more of an insight into Travis's mindset, where he may have not gone or may have gone to.
Federal authorities have arrested a suspect they say collaborated with a man who died in the attempted bombing of a Palm Springs, California fertility clinic last month. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
The bomb that exploded outside the clinic was made with ammonium nitrate, a volatile fertilizer the FBI says was secured by 32-year-old Daniel Park of Washington State.
Park was in possession of an explosive recipe.